Holy Spirit, come and be with us and settle our minds, our hearts, and help us to discern the voice of grace, the voice of healing, the grace of love. Blessed Mother, intercede for us as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Saint Joseph, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated, folks. So I'll have a talk now, and then we'll have a little bit of a break, which time we'll set up for adoration, okay? In between this break and the next time, there's a sign-up sheet for all-night adoration, okay? For adoration, you can come down. We'll have a few chairs eventually set up after the healing. You know, it's just come down, obviously, reverently and respectfully, of course. Just try to be super quiet. And some of you have never been to adoration in the middle of the night. Maybe tonight's the first time to just give it a try. There's something quite beautiful about coming into to keep the Lord company, to go against all the suffering of people at night, their sins, their trauma, past sins that you have committed at night, so to speak. And so I encourage you, spend time, and then we'll have benediction in the morning. Whenever we begin to really understand the concept of freedom, you have to appreciate that because you've experienced the freedom at your baptism, that is the day that you must return to. Like, I keep coming back to baptism, baptism, baptism in my parish. And yet at the same time, I kind of feel like it's like, is it landing? Are people kind of getting it? Baptism is, like, if you look at the essential qualities of baptism, if they understood it more profoundly, then they would appreciate many mistakes or many misunderstandings in their heart. And I want to give you just four of them so that you can understand the significance. First of all, in baptism, you are cleansed of original sin, right? I know you know that. You're cleansed of original sin. Now, you have done nothing to merit that. Okay? Like, I know you know that, but you didn't fast for 40 days and 40 nights before your baptism. You just showed up. Okay? So you have to recognize that you received an immense amount of grace simply by doing nothing. God loved you so much that he brought you out of the end being death. The end of your life is not death through baptism. By your baptism, you no longer just live for death. You live for life. Okay? Now, not knowing this cripples people when it comes to death. How many people are afraid of death? And I understand I don't want to leave my family. I don't want these things. But you've already died. You died in baptism. It's called the death of baptism. You literally, spiritually died. And then you were resurrected. So there should be nothing that cripples you anymore that you're so utterly afraid that you can't believe that God can do something in pain and in suffering. So you've done nothing by the grace of being cleansed of original sin. That same grace that was given to you at baptism is the renewed grace in confession. God once again renews that grace, and he bestows more grace upon you every time you go to confession. An authentic confession without hidden sins allows the grace of the Spirit. Now notice, people are afraid of confession. I get it. It's pride. What is Father going to think? I get all that. Let's get beyond that kind of superficial stuff, which I know exists. What is the inherent fear that is within people to receive a renewal of grace? There's something that must be present. There's the crippling mockery of the sin. I want you to really understand that. That's why so many folks are stuck. I get it. But there must be an understanding, at least with you guys, that you can speak to people and say, confession is an encounter with His grace. And you've already experienced the grace. And it liberates. It gives freedom. Secondly, the sacrament makes you part of the body of Christ. You are now integrated into Christ. You no longer live for yourself, but I live for Christ, St. Paul will say. And this goes against the very voice that so many people hear, I feel alone. I feel alone. How many people, when they feel alone, I say to them, when was your last confession? Well, I don't know. I was like, yeah, well, maybe it's bigger than that. Okay? I want to express to you, like, I've walked with people through an awareness of this, and they've gone into that sense, and the voice that tells them they're alone no longer has authority over them. It can't. It's not capable. Because there's nothing it can cling to in your heart. If you're totally transparent, when you hear you're alone, it goes in one ear and out the other. But if the wound is still existing, you're alone, it goes right to the wound. It goes right to that unhealed place. And so you're part of the body of Christ. Thirdly, you're given three virtues, faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. But they're all seeds that need to be watered. They're all seeds that need to grow. And so when somebody says, well, I don't have faith, but they've been baptized, that's actually a lie. They do have the virtue of faith. It's just not been brought into the light. Remember, God respects the will so profoundly that He's going to let you say you don't exist. And so the fruit of that is a lack of hope. Because what am I living for? What's the purpose in life? And so therefore I live carpe diem. Seize the day. Get what you can get out of it. Make no promises. Make no promises. So that's what people are doing. I can't imagine making a promise to another person. Can't imagine taking a vow to the church. So therefore, I can't imagine the experience of a relational freedom. Faith, hope, and love is relational. It's always been relational. It's not in slavery. And so when you don't have any faith, hope, and love, like you can say, well, I don't have any faith. Are you free? Are you interiorly free? I mean, there's a great paradox. I'm free to renounce God. I'm free to renounce a belief system. Okay. Then what do you believe? Well, then I believe in myself. That I'm allowed to, I believe that I'm free to renounce that. Again, everything gets into the subjective reality. Everything is then subjective. If I don't see it, smell it, or touch it, it does not exist. Okay? You have to recognize, wow, is that how you feel? And so faith, hope, and love are given too as well. But that changes the whole dynamic of how people can live. And finally, then, number four is that God gives you the sense that you're a child of God. Baptism says you now have a life to live, and your life is not ending on Good Friday. Your life ends at the resurrection, when you rise. It's no wonder, I hate to use trite phrases or whatever, no wonder there is such an epidemic of sadness. No wonder there's nothing to fight for. There's nothing to get me out of the pain. Absolutely. It makes perfect sense. And so in effect, what happens is, well, then what am I living for? I was giving a retreat in Guatemala not long ago, and I just said to Sister, do you all have a lot of depression or suicide here? She said, no. He said, because you just have to fight and trust in God. What has happened? What has happened? It's because I think that we believe that, wait a second, I'm entitled. And so when God seemingly lets you down, and he hasn't, we go into overdrive. I can do this. I believe in myself, but I'm a shell. No wonder I'm empty. The challenge, I think, for so many people, and especially for you folks, is to recognize the center of the world. Pope John Paul said it in The Redeemer of Man. He said, the center of human history is not you. It's not you. It's Christ. Everything flows to Christ and from Christ and back to Christ. Ask a person who doesn't have faith, who demands their independence, what are they living for? What is their purpose? It's always going to be something on this plane. It's always going to be the next experience of a physical grasping. And all of the things around them are seen as burdensome because they limit their freedom. There is this great experience where you can say, I'm not unfree. I'm actually free in Christ. That's the grace that God gives to the human heart. And all of the things that impede it, a lack of forgiveness, addiction, God is going to work through all of those with you. He's going to work through all of the sadness with you. That is God's promise. I will be with you. I was reading here, it talks about the covenant that God makes. God makes a covenant. I will be faithful to you. But fidelity by God does not mean that God necessarily liberates you and prevents you from having your trials. That is the grace. That is where God allows you to be tried. Everybody will have those experiences. But the response back when those experiences come, our Lord, you have brought me through this. You have showed me the path. In Christ are the mysteries of redemption. In Jesus. And so the Spirit begins to move within you, ladies. The Spirit that blows very freely. The Spirit that led Jesus into the desert in Luke's gospel, which I totally love, because the Spirit leads Christ into the desert for 40 days. And there Christ is cared for. There Christ is ministered to. But he comes back in the power of the Spirit. He comes back with this mission in his heart. Every time the Spirit leads you into a place of struggle or pain or a desert, you will come back with authority. Every time. You can't go into the desert that's unhealed. It must be led by the Spirit, because the evil one can lead you into it. But when it's the Holy Spirit, you conquer there. And so we always are discerning. You're always praying. You're thinking to yourself, Lord, where are you leading me? What are you asking of me? So Christ comes in the flesh for a very specific reason. So he says, what I have overcome by my mission, so you too can overcome. So you can overcome. That's what God invites you to. Who am I that I haven't experienced your pain? Jesus promises. Who am I? And so thanks be to God, sin is actually very limited. No matter the pattern of sin in your life, it's limited. It will never have authority in eternal life. Basically, check your sin at the door before you enter eternal life. It is not eternal. It is limited. Think about those of you that are struggling with patterns of sin, and it just says, I will be with you forever. You will never overcome me. That is a distinct lie. It is limited. Because something that is not of God is limited. It will always be limited. It does not have authority because God gives it permission to extend. But do not compare it to eternal life. It can seem like you're never going to overcome it. It can seem like, my God, when is this going to stop? But Jesus is the new Adam. He is the one that we are born into. We are born as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, and you come out of the amniotic water as, unfortunately, the son or daughter of your mom and dad. And then you die again, and you come out of the mother church and Christ as a child of God. And then is eternal life. But then begins the battle. Then begins the struggle. Because you are Christ. You are the one that is supposed to be the voice of Jesus in the culture, in your domestic church. It is a specific mission. Once you realize that you are a Christ, a little Christ, I'm not crazy. I'm not a heretic. But when you come out, you are united in Christ. You go nowhere without Christ. That's why when you know your baptismal grace and you continue the pattern of sin, it's even more egregious. Let me raise the bar. It's more egregious. So you actually have to, as you recognize this, double down on your mission. You have to recognize, I know who I am now, and I can no longer continue this half-eyed, blind, deaf pattern of sin. It's even more profound. Are you with me? Once you recognize this, then you begin to understand, I understand struggle. I understand my trials. Who cares? Expect it. What eye has not seen and ear has not heard, for those who love God, that's what it says. That's what the mission is. Redemption is the beginning of your awareness of who you are. What is your purpose? Why did God make you? Like, you can go over all those questions. You've already heard them 1,000 times. But if you don't engage your will, if you don't want your will to become something that is singularly focused on the Spirit, then yeah, you will begin to complain and grumble. There's no freedom in that. Absolutely none. And so God the Father reveals this Christ so that the human person can no longer just be subject to their own passions. Christ comes into the world so that you know how to live. And you know how to die. Do you know how to die? Or are you just totally crippled? You don't even know how to live, so I don't expect you to know how to die. And that's why we do all the little sacrifices we do. That's why we fast. That's why we do all those other things, so that you can die. Not just so you can say, ta-da, look at me, Mr. Sacrifice. Who cares? You do all of those sacrifices so that you can say, now I know what death tastes like. I know what I live for. I give these retreats, as I told you, to Father Al's sisters in Mexico and other places. And they're very simple, right? The sisters are just really simple, but very beautiful. And this is his, like, summary of all of his writings, right? This is what he says. We believe in Jesus. We love Jesus. So therefore, we do what Jesus did. Period. Really. All of the theology, imagine if you live those 3 sentences. I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. Therefore, I do what Jesus did. And then you can compare it. You can just look at it. Did Jesus have 29 pairs of shoes and 29 purses? No. So therefore, I choose not to. Like, I want you to understand the ramifications of this. I want you to understand the deeper mystery. Did Jesus pray at night? Yes. So therefore, I pray at night. I want you to understand it's a very simple life. It's not complicated. That's the freedom in Christ that we talk about. And all of the little selfish acts that we do, they're just all indications of a self-love, right? That's it. They're just all signs of self-love. Remember when Mother Teresa said, you know, even if I have that pen that I didn't ask permission for, that pen can keep me from God. Because it's an attachment. It's something that you know is wrong. We have to examine that in the light of your own vocation, whatever it is. It's true to say that, like, how many times we just do little things that are like, oh, these are just little selfish moments, right? That you can say, I'm entitled to. That's where the holiness is. That's where you can say, yeah, you know, you're not entitled to that. I was helping a young mom one time, and I guess during nap time she would get on Facebook or whatever, I don't know, it was kind of frivolous. And I was talking about, it's like, do you think I should confess this? I said, well, is it bad stuff? She said, no. I said, are you being selfish? She said, no. I said, then give it up. She's like, are you trying to kill me? And the littlest thing, I was like, just give up Facebook. It was the little attachments. It was the little thing that she could say, I'm not free here. So she would work all morning, and she's like, thank God the kids are asleep. Time to get on the computer. I want you to look at the lack of freedom in her heart. That's what I'm driving at. If you're like, I got to work all day, and I need 3 brewskis at the end of the day, and you're thinking about it at 5 o'clock, that's not freedom. So my challenge for you is, what's not free in you? I'm not saying you don't have a great time with your family at dinner. I'm not saying, that's not what I'm talking about. But if that thing becomes an end in itself, then it's not freedom. It will never be freedom. Because at the end of it, you're like, oh, now what? That was a great meal, but now I'm hungry again. Of course you're going to be hungry again. I want you to look at the thing in your life that you recognize that is not free. By the way, the doors are open if anybody wants to go to confession for the priest. Take advantage of it, please. I meant to announce that, sorry. Pope John Paul said it very beautifully. He said, man cannot live without love. And then he says, and you're incomprehensible to yourself. Look at what he's saying. If you don't know yourself in Christ, you're incomprehensible. You don't know yourself. Look at what's happening in our culture. People are redefining themselves. You can't do that because they don't have Christ. Christ tells you who you are. Look, this is all an accident. Right? There's substance and accidents, right? The substance and accidents, like of the Eucharist, bread and wine, it's the body and blood of Christ. What's the accidents of me? I'm a male, 51, black hair, dark black hair, right? Right? That's all accidents. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Whether you're tall, short, blah, 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 that's all an accident. What's the substance? A child of God. That's the core identity. Who am I? A child of God. Here's what's happening. I don't know I'm a child of God. So I want to redefine me. I don't like this. So I'm going to relabel it. That's what's happening. Of course. It's so beautiful because it's so obvious. And at the same time, we have to have so much compassion and mercy because it's not even going to answer what they're looking for. You are not blonde or red hair or purple hair. Who cares? I mean, change your clothes. I don't care. Move to another state. It's all an accident. It's all superfluous. If you don't know who you are, you're going to keep changing. Look at what's happening. I want gray hair. I want black hair. I want to put on weight. I don't want it. I'm going to change my body. Fine, go ahead. Do it. Knock yourself out. Tell me how you feel after about a month. Because the there's an inner drive that says, who am I? Who am I? And the mystery is, you come to know yourself by giving of yourself. Look at what the culture needs. All of these wounded folks need to go on a mission. They need to go serve the poor. They need to hold some kid with hydrocephaly and be like, who are you, kid with a big head? Who are you? And then they will find themselves. They will find themselves in that encounter. It's a great paradox. If you don't know who you are, then go serve. God will show you. Because you're looking in the mirror or looking for an identity, but you take off all the makeup and you turn it, you twist everything away. God will show you who you are because it's Christ in the poor. Christ is in the poor. And you will find yourself there. I don't go to serve the poor because I want to serve the poor. I come and find myself in the poor because every kid that I hold or every old lady that I care for, it's just me. It's just some old lady. It's just an accident. Whether she's got teeth or not, it's like, who cares? Lady, you're me. You're me, lady. And we don't have to speak the same language. That's the mystery of Christ. That's what God does. And it's so profound that he reveals it in and through other people. He reveals it through other people. And that's the mission of Christ in us. Jesus comes to proclaim within us freedom. The proclamation of the gospel within my own existence. Ladies, that's what you must understand. That's freedom in Christ. When you have heard the message of Christ, when you have recognized what Christ has called you to, you have been called to be free, not enslaved to somebody's emotions or passions or whatever. In a way, I look back, I was reading the scripture the other day, Mary Magdalene, she was so enslaved and she was so free. She was enslaved because she was loving the people that objectified her, but at the same time, she was so free because she loved so passionately. Like she loved, like she went for it. And then once she figured out, oh my gosh, this is emptying me, not fulfilling me, she said, enough of these guys, fill me, Christ. It was the same desire, only rooted in Jesus. Every passion that exists in your life, when it's rooted in Christ, will fulfill you. Every sinful passion, listen to that, will fulfill you in Christ. Because it's inverted. It's selfish right now. You're seeking yourself. Turn it out to Christ. Turn it into God's love, and God will reveal to you who you are. The person that runs from dude to dude and selfish impurity with self, keep going. Tell me what the answer is. Nothing. But with the grace of the Holy Spirit, if she goes with that same grace, other-centered, Christ-centered, even Christ within, liberation, freedom. I know who I am in Christ. That's where God is working. And so you end up this great mystery. This is what I've been thinking about, is that I've actually proclaimed the message of liberation to myself by the healing that God gave to me. So God gives me this healing, and I speak that healing into my wounds. Are you with me? Hello? That's what you need. You can't speak healing into your wounds by feeling sorry for yourself or simply just accusing yourself. God does not accuse. That's evil one. But some of you like that because it's a fulfillment of the pattern of sin. When did you first get accused? Get there. Liberate that. Get Christ into that place. Then you'll be free. Otherwise, that little soft, still voice is going to say, Yeah, but. Really think, when were you first accused? When did you first live that accusation? And I bet you, you will find the soil for a lot of other accusations. You will find the soil. You will find the place where you're like, aha, now I get it. Now I get it. Do you guys get that? And it can be a totally healthy response, but it's just trying to run away from the accusation. And then you're just going to be burdened interiorly. Pope John Paul says very clearly that Christ is the stable principle and he's the center. So we flow from Christ to Christ. And he says, and all of us are to help each other find himself in Christ. Why are people not free? You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. An honest relationship with Christ sets you free. It is the profound responsibility for each one of you to set the captives free, really, within you. If it seems kind of foreign to you, remember that Christ unites himself to each of us in our baptism. And that's the biggest grace that we can ask for. And so Jesus becomes very present in the absence in our life. And what is absent then becomes a place for Christ. The mystery of the desert now is a place of accomplishment in Christ. How can you go into the desert? Because Christ has conquered it. And this is the mystery. He becomes man so that we don't live in this desert for 40, 60, 100 years, feeling abandoned and completely conquered by the evil one. And so Christ allows suffering to draw out of humanity mercy, love, and grace. And so therefore we become thankful for those who carry that cross, especially the innocent ones. Those innocent ones draw you out of your enslavement to sadness, to isolation, And the joy they have is a joy rooted in Christ. What I would like you to do, ladies, is spend a little time, again, just sort of examining your hearts on where do you sense that you are free or not free. Tonight, when you come back, I'll expose the Blessed Sacrament, give a little meditation, we'll have the lights pretty well cut off, kind of soft, and then I'll get a chance to pray over you. I think some of you know that we'll have carpet squares up here, and you come up, and the Eucharist will be on the altar, the Blessed Sacrament. You'll have a chance to kind of offer your hands. I'll bless your hands and pray over you. But what I'd like you to do is kind of prepare your hearts and ask the Lord, Lord, what do I want to turn over? What's enslaved in my heart, right? People can deeply hurt us. The choice of being enslaved to them is up to you. Really. Like, I've seen people really hurt, and I get that, but when people just remain there, I think they become slaves to that person. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, there's more to life than being a slave to somebody. And St. Paul talks about it. You know, he says, I'm a slave for Christ. But he also talks about breaking the bondage, the chains. I guess I'd ask you to really think about it. Is there something in your life that someone, and yeah, you know, you're like, I'm just stuck there. And do you think you're being free by just like finding another ear to talk about it with? It doesn't work. You know, you have to choose, like, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life. I don't want to live like this. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Our Lady of Guadalupe.